Let the church say amen.
Amen.
And amen again.
Amen.
And a third time for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Giving honor to God, Pastor Allen, associate ministers, Pastor Smith of Shiloh Baptist Church in Baton Rouge,
hallelujah,
all church officials, brothers and sisters in Christ, all my sisters who are here this morning.
Glory.
It's just good to be here.
Come on, yes.
It's good to be in the house.
Come on now.
And it's good to be able to participate in such a beautiful program.
Glory.
I haven't been to one like this before. And I just thank you for inviting me. Sister Marlise, thank you. Y'all didn't know about me. I didn't know about you.
All right, now.
But you know about sisters supporting sisters.
Yes.
And I give you all the praise. I give God all the praise and honor and glory for the opportunity.
Yes.
As Sister Marlee said, I'm a 3-year breast cancer survivor. But before I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I probably used to preach a little more and do some other things. I slowed down within the last few years. And within the last couple of years, and most of the sisters don't know this, but my doctor told me to not do any preaching, to rest my voice, and to just, you know, take it easy. And he's been good. God has been good. He's been good. So this is probably my second preaching engagement in a very long time, and I just thank God for it. Hallelujah. And I want to just kind of move quite a lot further along. Don't want to hold you long, but God is speaking. He spoke last night. He spoke in the middle of the night. And what I had written down before, he changed that. And this is what you got. I came here last night with my cousin just to ride over from Baton Rouge to make sure we knew where the place was. We took a run real quickly, and it was just like Sister Marlee said, we came right to it. We were here on the grounds at 9 o'clock last night. Because I'm not a 7 o'clock person. I'm not even an 8 o'clock person, I tell you that. So this is a miracle right here that I'm here. God he's good. He's good. Hallelujah. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like you to turn with me to the First Kings, the book of First Kings, chapter 17. First Kings, chapter 17. And when you have it, I'd like for you to say amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, please let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for your precious word. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this worship service. We thank you for this breast cancer special service in honor of the breast cancer survivors and promoting awareness. Oh, Lord, we ask that you bless this congregation right now. We ask that you bless your word right now. Open ears, hallelujah, and open hearts, hallelujah. Open minds to receive what thus says the Lord. Help me to decrease and you to increase. We ask that your word go forth and accomplish all that you have it to accomplish. When it's all said and done, Lord God, we give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let us read. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain. Hallelujah. We're going further now. Oh, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah a second time now. That's me putting that in. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman, a widow woman, there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little cruse of oil, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for me and for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen.
Amen.
My God. You see, what we are looking at here today is a crisis in the land. Oh, it's a crisis in the land. We are not unfamiliar with crises. A few weeks ago, we were having a financial crisis in the government because of shutdown. Didn't know which way we were going to turn. Some people were furloughed, and quite honestly, some people weren't asked to come back. Know if you know that or not. But the ones that were sent home, some are told they don't have a job anymore. That is a crisis. If it's not a crisis in the government, it might be a crisis in your home. You don't have enough money to make ends meet. Or you've come up with some unexpected expenses that you didn't anticipate. Are you having some problems in your home with your children or your spouse? And it just seems like it'll never end. But I come to tell you today, and of course, as breast cancer survivors, you might have had a diagnosis. You still might be going through treatment. And they're telling you that they're not sure whether or not the treatment is successful. But But I come to tell you today that God says there is hope.
Hallelujah.
There's hope.
Right.
Crises speak hopelessness.
That's right.
But God speaks hopefulness over a crisis situation.
Yes, he does.
Do you want to know how to get through a crisis?
Yes.
Just look at the text. Follow Elijah and see what he's doing.
Come on now.
The first thing that Elijah does is that he listens to the voice of God.
Yes.
He listens. Because although it's a crisis situation, to get through any crisis, we first have to know who is in control. God is in your crisis.
Yes, he is.
He's in the crisis. Now, when you know that he's in the crisis, then you can proceed a little further with confidence. Because we know that God may allow certain things.
Come on
now. He doesn't create anything bad. No, he doesn't put disease and all of these things. He doesn't do that. But he does allow certain things. Now, why? It's not for our place to ask why. But it is for us to know that if he allowed it, and you're his child, then he's made provision for you to go through it. So here we see Elijah. God has told Elijah to pronounce a drought over the land. There's not going to be rain nor dew for really 3 years. Well, can you imagine what the crops look like? How are they going to eat? Where are they going to get water from? A drought in the land for 3 years. But on the other hand, God said what? Elijah, get out of here. You go to a place that I've provided for you. You see, that's how God's children are. You have a crisis situation, but just know that God always has a plan. He's got an open door. He's got a way of escape. So he takes Elijah and he takes him and shifts him to a whole nother location. When they told me I had cancer, that's a crisis situation.
Yes, it is.
I'm waiting, have had a biopsy. I'm trying to figure out, is it cancer? Is it not? I'm sitting up here trying to do things at my job, teaching and whatnot. My mind wasn't really on all of that. But I finally got a call from my physician right after the class finished up. Everybody, last student that walked out. And I answered that call just a minute. Lord, prepare me. And sure enough, it was what it was. You know, like to say, it is what it is. Say it's cancer. It's cancer. Okay, so what's your next move? I know you're gone. And I know that you showed me the lump because it wasn't like I went to get my mammogram and they found it like that. No, I was sitting in my living room, to be honest, getting ready to go somewhere. Had adjusted my bra and just happened to have my thumb push on something that felt not quite right. And I went to the doctor the very next day, and they did the what they called it. They stepped me up a notch. Instead of the mammogram, they called it the diagnostic mammogram. So when I had that done, We moved accordingly.
Yes.
But you know, I said, God, you've been faithful all the time.
That's right. Yes.
I said, now that's one thing I know.
Yes.
I might not know a whole lot right now, but I know you're consistent in my life.
Yes.
So you got to make a way.
Yes, Lord.
Because I'm your child. And I'm your daughter. And I've been walking with you.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
When I was on that table, and they were doing that needle biopsy, they did a needle biopsy on me. Very, somewhat painful. But I made it through, right?
Yeah.
He always has a little angel there.
Later
sitting there rubbing my hand and holding my hand. It was good. Just like mother's love. Got through it. My God. But God. He said, now, on the table, said, do you remember, this has been about 10 years ago, when you were in Montgomery, Alabama, and you were leaving, coming back to Baton Rouge, and the Lord opened a door for you to get out of your lease at your apartment, when they had told you last week that you couldn't get out of it, and then when you went back after those ladies had prayed with you at that church and laid hands on you in your chest, that same spot that stayed hot for 7 days, enough for you to move all your things out of that apartment, you and your son, and move back to Baton Rouge, and your chest is still burning, and you feeling up the power of the Holy Spirit. 7 to 10 days I had heat in my chest. He said, that's the same sight, daughter. That's the same sight. They call it a 3 o'clock sight. I'm telling y'all all my business, but God has fixed it like this because I don't have none of this on here. He made provision.
Yes,
and for each and every one of us, regardless of what we are going through, when we are faced with a crisis, when we are his children, he has already made provisions for us to go through. The only question, though, will you make a decision to be obedient to what he asked you to do? Elijah was obedient. He went where the Lord told him to go. Sure enough, the other folks didn't have water. He had water to drink at that brook. He had food to eat. And he didn't even have to feed himself. He had some birds bringing him food. Birds, can you imagine? You see how God is in control of everything? He commands everything, the wind, the air, the oh, hallelujah. You can tell a bird to come and feed me. I know you can do this thing. But how about this? The brook dried up. No more water. No more food. But God is still gone.
Yes, he is.
And he still made a way.
Yes.
Do you see that he's getting Elijah closer and closer to him?
That's right.
He dried that brook up because he still wants a little closer water. He's still drawing Elijah closer. So he tells him what? Get up. Leave here. Now you go into your next station. We call it an assignment. All of us have spiritual assignments.
Yes.
All right, watch out for yours. Don't miss it.
That's right.
You got an assignment.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we don't know if it might seem small to you, but it's really a big thing.
Yes.
God said if you be faithful in the small things, he'll make you rule over me.
Yes.
So he goes to Zarephath and he meets that widow woman. And that widow woman is gathering sticks. She's in a desperate situation herself. She says she's about to die. She's trying to gather sticks so she can cook a what? A little meal. I guess they call it the last meal. Oh, my Lord. But the man of God appeared on the scene. Isn't that just like God? He's going to send that one person by you to encourage your heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes, oh my goodness, they said you call you everything but a child of God. You thought rejected by everybody in your household. And as soon as you walk out your front door, hello, good morning. How are you doing? Ooh, that's God. God uses people to encourage us. And he connects us with people. And to encourage one another. So God's trying to see if Elijah's getting this thing right. So he's trusted him one time to feed him. He takes him to another level and he's trying to see, are you going to trust me again? And not only are you going to trust me, I want you to start doing a little teaching yourself. Here's this widow woman. Show her what to do. Oh, Lord, I'm about to die. I don't have but some. Tell you what. You don't fix that. You do it. You fix it if you want. Fix that. That's fine. But bring me. First. Bring it to me first. Because see, I'm going to bless it. I represent the Lord. Oh, when the church shows up. You the church. You show up at the mall, don't you? The church shows up at the mall. The church showed up at the Southern Homecoming Parade. The church shows up at the game. The church shows up at the barber shop. When the church shows up, things start changing. Okay? So here this lady is. She listens and she obeys. That was the blessing in it for her. She could have stayed in a negative mindset and say, no, I'm gonna keep this for myself. I don't have enough to share. Do you remember the little boy? The five, what, loaves? Two fish? Five loaves of bread? And they fed thousands of people and still had leftovers. And started off wondering, how would they do? Lord, God is a God of impossibilities. And we wonder what we need to do. God has all the answers for us. He says to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. I said, oh, my God, Lord, now I'm at this chemo thing. I'm in the surgery, then the radiation. Wow. I told every family member, I went for four opinions and had one over at MD Anderson. The MD Anderson was connected with Mary Bird Perkins that I had, praise the Lord, past him, what they call a triple negative tumor. And for those of you who are not familiar with all of that, there's so many different types of cancer tumors. And that is one of the more severe or aggressive types of tumors because it doesn't respond to any particular type of receptor or hormone. It doesn't have any treatment. So in other words, when you finish your chemo, they don't have any follow-up because they don't know how to follow up. But God knows how to follow up. So I didn't know about any chemo because I don't like to put things like that in my body. You know how it is. I was a natural person. And I told every family member, I'm not really comfortable with any chemo. What else can... Well, that's what you probably need to do. That would be in your best interest. We got to that last doctor, and that doctor was a man of faith. And my brother asked him what he would do if it was his sister. And he said he would have the chemo. He would recommend her to take that chemo and then to shrink that tumor first. That's the newer way that they're doing it now, it seems, depending on your situation. Do the chemo first to shrink the tumor, then do the surgery, then do the radiation. And when they said that, my brother explained a few more things to me, and he's a physician, he's not an oncologist, but he's a medical doctor.
Yes.
And I said, Lord, I guess I'll have to go with this. But he showed me a scripture. He said, now don't you remember, it said you can drink any deadly poison and it will not harm you. My mind had to wrap around that scripture. And I read it and I read it and I read it. And that's what got me in the mindset to approach that chemo therapy. With God, all things are possible. I say, if this stuff is that bad, I say, but God, you are that good, and you can protect me because what you put in your body from your scripture, I'm believing your word.
That's right.
And I got through that. Hallelujah. With a lot of praying folks. Hallelujah. Even though they might not have been able to take me to the chemo, they were praying for me constantly, and they were calling on that telephone. And that meant all the world to me. And when I got to the radiation, I had a little blanket that had about 25 to 35 scriptures on it. And when I'd go there in the waiting room, I'd read those scriptures. By his stripes, we are healed. All things work together for good for them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and I will direct you. My God. Well, then I go marching into that radiation and all that invisible stuff, don't know what's going on. I say, you know, I don't need to know all this. Because if I know more about this, I'm just going to pack it up and get on. I said, the one thing I just have to know is God is in control. And keep checking these things off. And when I get to the last appointment, and I'm already shouting hallelujah before I get there. But let me just get there. My God. I'm just telling you this. When you go through a crisis, always know God is in the crisis. Before you begin. And he's already made provisions for you to go through it. And has prepared for you to go through it. All we need do is but listen and move by faith. Knowing that all things work together for good and God is in. control.
Thank you.
And remember this, just because you finish one crisis doesn't mean that's it for you. Look what happened with Elijah. That next crisis situation is going to be stepped up a notch. In other words, it's going to be more challenging than the first. But guess what the blessing is? You made it through the first.
Come on.
All right? You have confidence in walking with the Lord. So that next crisis, it won't be as difficult. Because you're learning how, we are learning how to keep our hand in God's hand and trust Him. Leaning not to our own understanding. But trust in Him in all things. In realizing that we might never stop having crises, but thank God that we are always have an ever-present help in time of trouble.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for being God who takes care of us. Because the widow woman and her son were provided for. Elijah didn't have anything, and neither did the widow woman have anything, but one thing, Elijah had the Lord. And Elijah shared with her. And that's what we are called to do, to share with others. Putting God first and everything after that, it can't help but work.
Hallelujah.
Somebody here today is trying to get this thing in order.
All right now.
You know you've been delivered from one situation and you rejoiced, and then seems like something else came up. And it's just like that old barrel sometimes. Plug in one thing and something else pops out in another area. And then you keep on. But God is faithful.
Yes.
He said He's going to be with us until the ends of the earth. So if it's one here today who wants to put their trust in Jesus Christ, we really do ask you to come. Because Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. You see, when man messed up, God sent His only begotten Son, Lord, to redeem mankind, to set the captives free. And anybody here right now who hasn't said yes to Jesus might want to do it today. You know, because while the blood is still running warm in your veins, because there are older people passing on, there are middle-aged people, there are young people, children, even babies. Why not come today if you haven't made Jesus your choice? He's waiting with His arms wide open for you to come. All He wants you to do is come. He didn't say you had to be perfect. It's not one of us in here perfect. All of us need Jesus. That's why we're here.
Hallelujah.
We just want to come. Anybody that needs to come, just pray that the Lord will prick your heart and use this as a wonderful opportunity to build a relationship with Him. Would there be one?